woman. And for the purpose of the dream under consideration, this interpretation is probably the least doubtful, for she falls on the Graben, the place in Vienna which is known as the concourse of prostitutes. The market basket admits of more than one interpretation, in the sense of refusal. German Korb equals basket, snub, refusal. She remembers the many snubs which she first gave her suitors, and which she later, as she thinks, received herself. Here belongs also the detail that no one will help her up, which she herself interprets as being disdained. Furthermore, the market basket recalls fantasies that have already appeared in the course of analysis, in which she imagines she has married far beneath her station, and now goes marketing herself. But lastly, the market basket might be interpreted as the mark of a servant. This suggests further childhood memories of a cook who was sent away because she stole. She, too, sank to her knees and begged for mercy. The dreamer was at that time 12 years old. Then there is a recollection of a chambermaid, who was dismissed because she had an affair with the coachman of the household, who, incidentally, married her afterwards. This recollection, therefore, gives us a clue to the coachman in the dream, who do not, in contrast with what is actually the case, take the part of the fallen woman. But there still remains to be explained the throwing of the basket and the throwing of it through the window. This takes her to the transference of baggage on the railroad, to the Fenchstern in the country, and to minor impressions received at a country resort of a gentleman throwing some blue plums to a lady through her window, and of the dreamer's little sister being frightened because a cretin who was passing looked in at the window. And now from behind this there emerges an obscure recollection from her 10th year of a nurse who made love at the country resort with a servant of the household, of which the child had opportunity to see something, and who was fired, thrown out, in the dream the opposite, thrown into. A story which we had also approached by several other paths. The baggage, moreover, or the trunk of a servant, is disparagingly referred to in Vienna as 7 plums. Pack up your 7 plums and get out. My collection, of course, contains an abundant supply of such patients' dreams, whose analysis leads to childish impressions that are remembered obscurely or not at all, and that often date back to the first 3 years of life. But it is a mistake to draw conclusions from them which are to apply to the dream in general. We are in every case dealing with neurotic, particularly with hysterical persons, and the part played by childhood scenes in these dreams might be conditioned by the nature of the neurosis and not by that of the dream. However, I am struck quite as often in the course of interpreting my own dreams, which I do not do on account of obvious symptoms of disease, by the fact that I unsuspectingly come upon a scene of childhood in the latent dream content, and that a whole series of dreams suddenly falls into line with conclusions drawn from childish experiences. I have already given examples of this, and shall give still more upon various occasions. Perhaps I cannot close the whole chapter more fittingly than by citing several of my own dreams, in which recent happenings and long-forgotten experiences of childhood appear together as sources of dreams. 1. After I have been travelling and have gone to bed hungry and tired, the great necessities of life begin to assert their claims in sleep, and I dream as follows. I go into a kitchen to order some pastry. Here 3 women are standing, one of whom is the hostess, and is turning something in her hand as though she were making dumplings. She answers that I must wait until she has finished, not distinctly as a speech. I become impatient and go away insulted. I put on an overcoat, but the first one which I try is too long. I take it off, and am somewhat astonished to find that it has fur trimming. A second one has sewn into it a long strip of cloth with Turkish drawings. A stranger with a long face and a short pointed beard comes up and prevents me from putting it on, declaring that it belongs to him. I now show him that it is embroidered all over in Turkish fashion. He asks, "What business are the Turkish drawings, strips of cloth, of yours?" But we then become quite friendly with each other. In the analysis of this dream, there occurs to me quite unexpectedly the novel which I read, that is to say, which I began with the end of the first volume, when I was perhaps 13 years old. I have never known the name of the novel or of its author, but the conclusion remains vividly in my memory. The hero succumbs to insanity, and continually calls the names of the 3 women that have signified the greatest good and ill fortune for him during life. Pelagie is one of these names. I still do not know what to make of this name in the analysis. Apropos of the three women, there now come to the surface the three Parsi, who've spinned the fate of man. And I know that one of the three women, the hostess in the dream, is the mother who gives life, and who, moreover, as in my case, gives the first nourishment to the living creature. Love and hunger meet at the mother's breast. A young man, so runs an anecdote, who became a great admirer of womanly beauty, once, when the conversation turned upon a beautiful wet nurse who had nourished him as a child, expressed himself to the effect that he was sorry that he had not taken better advantage of his opportunity at the time. I am in the habit of using the anecdote to illustrate the factor of subsequence in the mechanism of psychoneuroses. One of the Parsi, then, is rubbing the palms of her hands together as though she were making dumplings. A strange occupation for one of the fates, which is urgently in need of an explanation. This is now found in another and earlier childhood memory. When I was 6 years old and was receiving my first instructions from my mother, I was asked to believe that we are made of earth, and that therefore we must return to earth. But this did not suit me, and I doubted her teaching. Thereupon my mother rubbed the palms of her hands together, just as in making dumplings, except that there was no dough between them, and showed me the blackish scales of epidermis, which were thus rubbed off, as a proof that it is earth of which we are made. My astonishment at this demonstration ad oculis was without limit, and I acquiesced in the idea which I was later to hear expressed in words, "Thou owest nature a death." Thus the women are really Parsi, whom I visit in the kitchen, as I have done so often in my childhood years when I was hungry, and when my mother used to order me to wait until lunch was ready. And now for the dumplings. At least one of my teachers at the university, the very one to whom I am indebted for my histological knowledge, epidermis, might be reminded by the name Knödel, German Knödel, dumplings, of a person whom he had to prosecute for committing a plagiarism of his writings. To commit plagiarism, to appropriate anything one can get, even though it belongs to another, obviously leads to the second part of the dream, in which I am treated like a certain overcoat thief, who for a time plied his trade in the auditoria. I wrote down the expression plagiarism, without any reason, because it presented itself to me, and now I perceive that it must belong to the latent dream content, because it will serve as a bridge between different parts of the manifest dream content.